English was the inside muscle of Calvin Knapp, who gave Denver a second scoring gun and L.A. a double-barreled headache. However, the Nuggets' front line took a hard fall in the second half. English broke his already aggravated thumb while diving after a loose ball. Calvin Knapp took a tumble. His agonizing expression mirrored the Nuggets' painful luck of double injury. Aside from a possible Laker victory, attention was focused upon Magic Johnson, who was on the verge of shattering Jerry West's all-time playoff assist record. Johnson got right down to business by orchestrating the Lakers' fast break from his familiar middle lane. The forum's cheers were a perfect salute to an old soldier, but there was a bigger reason to shout. The Lakers' fifth trip to the finals in 6 years.
The Western Conference Finals features some of the NBA's brightest stars, like Pau Gasol and the Lakers, whose path here was a bit bumpy, but played brilliantly when it mattered most. The Denver Nuggets have been flying through the first two rounds of the playoffs, consistently impressive in reaching their first conference final in nearly 2.5 decades. Can they take the next step? Let's find out.
Fisher to Bryant, shot clock at 8. Bryant gets inside, elevates, and gets the roll.
I think they're going to go with the reason.
Bryant knocks down the jumper. Coming up on a minute remaining in the first half. Bryant puts it in. Bryant on Phillips. Gets inside, flips it up, banks it in, and a foul. Bryant. Oh, Kobe Bryant. Another one, and it's a 20-point lead. Gasol to Bryant. Nice fake. There's the drive and the finish. But it comes to an end tonight as the L.A. Lakers are Western Conference champions. They win the series in 6 games.
He is the great equalizer here. It's LeBron James. Here's Davis. Gets a step on Plumlee. Finishes with a foul.
Oh, now Denver in hang-on mode. And you know LeBron on the attack. Lakers on the move. Caruso gives it up. James hangs and finishes. Posting up is LeBron James. And now he goes to work. Pulls it, pops it, Davis, he'll pull the three. Oh, Davis hits it. And in 5 games, the Los Angeles Lakers will take down the Denver Nuggets.
Our goal was not to get to the Western Conference Finals. Our goal is to win a championship. We have a great challenge in front of us. I believe
we can be an army. Now Gordon with a picture. And Gordon, no call. Murray again, and again.
Jokic working quickly. Wow, figuring some things out. Three to shoot, Murray to spin. Now to Bruce Brown, right to the teeth of the defense, and he has a chance at three. Not so much in this series. Look at Jokic, magnificent. Maintain the level of detail, Stephanie, that they started this game with. This Murray boy, circus shot, they will count it. Jokic somehow left wide open. Jokic doubled up. Murray, launch, splash. Edwards launches. No! And Denver survives. Murray looking to push. This is what they want to do. By exquisite pass, Jokic. Damian Lee too much that time. Long rebound Murray. Foot race between the legs. Little backdoor cut down, coming with some heat. Suns here at the start. Jokic shot clock down to 3. The spin, the shot, got it. Jeff Green, oh! Holy smokes! 7 to shoot. Caldwell Pope gets a screen. He's gonna launch. KCP with a titanic 3. Porter from the corner. Walks it up the floor. Gets it to Jokic inside. No one better with the ball in his hands.
The Phoenix Suns season is over. The Denver Nuggets are moving on to the conference finals for the second time in 4 years.
I think our guys understand what's at stake, the opportunities in front of us, and let's enjoy this process.
No mistakes, don't ever lose your hope. Just know you were born for this. Just know you were born for this.
In order to appreciate what's currently going on with the Denver Nuggets right now as they set their sights on an NBA Finals appearance for the first time in franchise history, You got to look back at the past. You have to look back at those significant series that happened all those years ago, 85, 2009, 2020. And there you heard it. The Nuggets were going up against buzzsaws every single time. Well done, Angel, as we kind of recapped a lot of that. That was fun, man. That was a well done job by you.
We need everybody up on your feet. No one sitting in your seat. Yeah, let's go.
You got to enjoy this because you're in historic territory here. And I think a lot of people... This is why I get so passionate about this conversation. How many titles does the state of Colorado have when it comes to professional, the Big Four? They have five, right? It's five titles. And how many years of doing this? Back to the NBA days, back to the Broncos days in the 60s, you know, the Rockies in the 90s. In the Avalanche, of course, both Rockies and Avs, fairly new teams to the state, but still, five titles. It doesn't happen all the time. The opportunities don't happen all the time. I mean, the Rockies made it to one World Series, and that was it for their franchise. They didn't sniff a championship before or after. The Colorado Avalanche, okay, three titles. They've had several opportunities. The Avalanche have enjoyed a very rich history since coming to Colorado. The Broncos, three titles, been to a lot. They've had those opportunities. The Nuggets haven't had very many chances at this. This is one of, they'd been to four before this. Three of them were against the Lakers. One was against the, I think, Seattle before 85 or whatever year that was. Kind of the lost one, I think, gets forgotten. You have to sit back and enjoy this. You got, what, 7 hours until tip-off tonight, 6:30 tip-off. And this, you sit back and think about everything it took to get to this stage. And that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to be looking at the matchups today and how Denver matches up with the Lakers and what they're going to have to do and who's going to step up. That's our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Outside of Nikola Jokic, who will be the MVP? Who will be the best player in the series? Jamal, Gordon, MPJ, KCP, Bruce Brown? Is there a surprise? Probably not a surprise, but you could think that if you want. Every time the Nuggets ran into the Lakers, it was during part of their dynasty run. Now, excuse me, when Alex English was so good, dude, he was averaging like 28 points a game that year. He was, in many years, you could have probably looked at Alex English and said, should he be talked about to win an MVP? He was that good. So you got to give him that respect. It just so happened that in his era of basketball, he was going up against the Showtime Lakers. Boston was really good. And then, you know, it's the Eastern Conference. But then later, I mean, obviously Jordan stormed onto the scene in the Eastern Conference too. You had some really good basketball teams. And so maybe one of the best years ever for the Nuggets, they just run into Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So the Showtime Lakers, a team that was a team of destiny. They've won a couple before that. They won a couple after that. They went on to win that year, and I think they won a couple of years after that, too. They were winning championships. That's a team we talk about. We're going to tell our grandkids about forever. The Showtime Lakers. You didn't watch them. I didn't watch them. We know of them. And the Nuggets just happened to run into them. 2009 hits, and finally George Karl gets past the first round because they found a half-court offense with Chauncey Billups. It wasn't just about Melo scoring. You had Chauncey Billups that could really slow the pace down when they needed to and present a calming force. And they breezed through the first two rounds of the playoffs, and you thought, okay, here we go. And yet again, you run into a dynasty. That was Kobe's first championship with Pau Gasol. That was his first champion. That year was his first championship without Shaq. And then they went on to win it again the next year. Every year the Nuggets have faced the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, what have they gone on to do that season? Win a title. Kobe Bryant, arguably one of the greatest players of all time. Magic Johnson, arguably one of the greatest players of all time. LeBron James, arguably one of the greatest players of all time. That's what you see. I mean, it's not like, it does blow me away that it's always the Lakers, but typically if you get to the Western Conference Finals a fair amount of time, you're going to walk away from that and say, we had some of the greatest players of all time. And Alex English is maybe in that category. Carmelo Anthony is maybe in that category. And I'm talking top 30, top 50 and stuff. But the Lakers, every year the Nuggets were a really good team that maybe could do it. They run into a team of destiny. And even in the bubble, I don't think anybody, I'm working on a blog I'm putting out this afternoon for you to check out, just kind of outlining this conversation. Even in the bubble, I don't think anybody's going to say that Lakers team, even tied to this Lakers team, is going to go down in history as one of the great Lakers dynasties. But anytime you involve LeBron James, you're talking greatness. You're talking legendary status. So now the Nuggets are yet again running into the Lakers at a very significant time in both of their histories. But this is why I love this song. And this is my theme for the Nuggets right now, is this time it's different.
Well, I love how you described all three of those different series and how the Nuggets were going into it as the extreme underdog, that they were the guys that maybe you shouldn't have been there, but they're there, so they got to play this game. This year, why not us?
They're going in as a favorite but an underdog at the same time, which is maybe where the Nuggets want to be. Because in those years, 85, nobody was picking the Nuggets. I don't know what the papers were saying. The papers were saying back then, the moving pictures. It was 85. It wasn't that far back. I was a negative one.
On TV, Brady.
Who's drawing the comics here? They weren't favorites. They weren't going to be picked to win that. I don't know many teams that played the Showtime Lakers were actually favored to win, except for Boston and later Chicago.
The Nuggets at that time were an upstart team.
And then, they weren't in the NBA that long. I mean, they were trying to figure out Alex English, and, they were, year or two removed from David Thompson. So I was wrong on that. I thought David Thompson was a part of that. Dan Issel was there. Calvin Knott was there. I mean, you had some really good teams. He was averaging like 19 points a game. He was a bruiser for him. And then 2009, they weren't picked to beat Kobe.
No, that's the young upstart Carmelo Anthony.
Well, and not even then. I mean, he'd been in the league 6-7 years at that point. But you just finally felt like George Karl put it all together. Oh, getting Chauncey Billups was huge. It didn't quite work with what they were trying in the past. But getting Chauncey Billups over in his second stint in Denver, he's Colorado's hometown kid. Man, he was Denver's favorite. And you thought this could be the year. They could do it. And, that series was tied 2-2. That game one, you almost win, and Anthony Carter throws it out of bounds. And I know that wasn't the sole reason they lost, but that ended it. That did end the game. Ariza got the steal and goes to the foul line, and game is over at that point. It's a two-score game with seconds on the clock. So you weren't picking them to win. It was Kobe Bryant. Not many people picked against Kobe either, especially when they reloaded.
Even without Shaq.
Without Shaq, but they reloaded with the Pau Gasol, who was remembered just this past year. And I don't know if they retired his number, but they retired Pau Gasol's number. Very great, perhaps underrated player when we talk about greats, when we talk about Lakers greats. They ran into another buzzsaw. And then in the bubble,
That was such a weird year, a weird time, and the way the NBA had put the bubble together, I'm not going to say it was rigged for the Lakers, but I find it hard to see any other team winning it that year.
It was a strange year for several reasons, Angel. That was the COVID year, of course, the bubble. We had protests and riots. All things were going on in this country at that point. And who was the loudest amongst NBA players that was talking? I don't know. It depends on how you want to look at it from your political angle, but so to speak, talking for the people. LeBron James was. It's one of the reasons I think Jamal Murray had so much. The games were great too, some of them, but he was doing a lot of that. And people were like, whoa, this Jamal Murray, because you jumped onto the scene and everybody's talking about not only your basketball ability, but the fact you're talking about COVID, you're talking about voting, you're talking about Black Lives Matter, you're talking about all these things going on. And so the Nuggets were going up against that. LeBron James, arguably the most outspoken when it comes to politics in the NBA, plus a Lakers team that was pretty darn good. Pretty darn good that year.
A Nuggets team that had just played 14 playoff games.
and it was exhausting for Denver. You saw that one shot of Jamal Murray after was it against the Clippers, or maybe it was against the Jazz in that Donovan Mitchell game, where he just looked absolutely exhausted. That was a lot to overcome. And again, even though the Lakers with LeBron James is probably not going to come close to rivaling the Kobe Bryant Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, or even the 50s Lakers before that, it's still LeBron James. He's like his own franchise at this point. You know, you can look at wherever team he was, and that was a dynasty, that was an epic time in whatever that team's timeline looks like. You know, Cleveland's timeline, LeBron James. Miami's timeline, LeBron James. The Lakers' timeline, they have all this great stuff, but there's also the LeBron James era. If you were writing a book about the Lakers, you're including those 50s teams, you're including Showtime Lakers, and you're including Kobe's Lakers, but you're also adding a chapter in there, maybe two, the LeBron James era. And you might have two championships to show for it. You might. Depends on what the Nuggets have to say about that. So I just think it's so interesting that every time the Nuggets have faced, it's not like if the Nuggets were going up against the Golden State Warriors, there's a lot of history there, and that would be fun to talk about. But that's not the storied history of every time the Nuggets felt like they were there, the Lakers ripped it out from them because they were the Goliath that won. That it wouldn't be the same with the Warriors. Even though the Lakers are a play-in team this year, we all know it's different because they didn't seem to really gel until about 10 games left in the regular season, which we all feared would happen with both Golden State and LA, to be honest. But it's just crazy to me that any other team you put in this matchup wouldn't have the same feel. Golden State would have been a great story too, but nobody else would have had the same feel. Memphis certainly not. Even if it would have worked out where it was Denver and Phoenix. I mean, yeah, you have the Nuggets, Suns and four situation and all that. But this has been, if you want to say, who is the Goliath that stands in the way of the Denver Nuggets, it has always been the Los Angeles Lakers. Whenever the Nuggets have at least got to the point where they can even get on the same battlefield as a Goliath.
They are the enemy of the Nuggets. They are a generational enemy. Whether you're a Nuggets fan in the 80s and 90s, you know, 2000, 2010, or even 2010 on, it's the Lakers. It's always the Lakers that knock you out. So this means so much, not just because you're in the Western Conference Finals, not because you're four wins away from getting to the finals for the first time. Your fan base has been dealing with this monkey on their back for 40 years. It's time that this ends.
Yeah, that's why there's a song from the band Evans Blue, and I really love this song. And it's, I don't know what the title is. Maybe that's what the title is.
This time is different.
I was tweeting and messaging you, what, Friday night? And I just kept thinking about that. I'm like, that's what kept going to my head was, okay, it's Lakers again. Okay, Magic whooped them. Kobe whooped them. LeBron whooped them. This time it's different because right now it feels like the Nuggets are the team that could potentially develop a dynasty here. And the Lakers, if they lose this series, I don't know. Because LeBron, you know, probably finish the year out with LA next year, but he wants to play with his son. If the Lakers can't figure out a way to draft him, because he'll play for what, 1 year with USC, Bronny?
Probably.
And then he'll go to the NBA draft. And then LeBron's going to try to figure out how he can get on. That's his goal. He wants to win another title, sure, but his right now on his mind, he wants to play with his son, which would be a historic feat. So that's what is going to happen. The Lakers have a very short window, a very small window here of where they can win another title. And they also want to prove that the bubble wasn't a fluke. LeBron wants to prove that one of my titles was not a fluke because he has two with Miami and one with Cleveland. He has four titles. He wants to prove that that fourth title is not a fluke because when he's trying to compete with Kobe and Michael Jordan at the end of the day, the ending argument will always be, how many titles do you have? Four sounds a lot better compared to Kobe's five and Jordan's six than three and a half, than a three and an asterisk. So LeBron, yeah, there's pressure now for this Lakers team, Darvin Ham and company, to try to finish this thing because you don't know what, you maybe don't know what your immediate future looks like, but or you do know what your immediate future looks like. You're probably going to have this, for the most part, this core intact next year, depending on what they do, because they had a lot of changes at the All-Star break. But you don't know what the 2-year deal is. The Nuggets know that Nikola Jokic, unless he retires, is going to be the 5-year plan. And Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon are part of the 5-year plan. The Lakers don't have a 5-year plan. They have this plan right now and then maybe next year. Aaron texting in, I think MPJ playing consistently is one of the biggest keys for the Nuggets winning this series. That's the tight-knit poll question of the day. Who do you think's going to be the best player in the series outside of Nikola Jokic? Murray, MPJ, Gordon, KCP, who was in that bubble series on the bad side for the Lakers and had 11 points in game one, or Bruce Brown. Go vote at theholeshow.com. All right, we do have some fun stuff to get to today, some really exciting local news. We're going to have UNC softball coach on the program. Excited about that. Really pumped to see what this program can do coming up on Friday. We're going to have the head coach of the UNC softball program on at 11:30. Vic Lombardi is going to join us at 1:30 as we get set.
What?
Yeah. I mean, he's safe. He almost poked LeBron in the eye the other day, but he's safe. He's okay. So we will get Vic on the program at 1:30 as well. Mike Brohard, maybe to talk some CSU Rams with us in the 12 o'clock hour. Jam-packed show. But the bottom line is we're getting you ready. We're getting you ready for game one, 6:30 tonight. The Denver Nuggets host the Los Angeles Lakers. The first time they're hosting a game one in the Western Conference Final. This time it's different. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind, Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. Tell you what, it's game night. It's freaking game night. So maybe stop by On the Rocks Liquor, pick up our beer of the week from Berthoud Brewing, Low Rider Lime. Check that out. That sounds like an Angel kind of beer. Sounds like an Angel kind of special there. Maybe Angel approved, but Berthoud Brewing, I mean, they do some damn good things. And On the Rocks Liquor loves highlighting breweries throughout Northern Colorado specifically. Tastings this week on Friday, May 19th, locally here again, the Shine Shop. It's going to be out there. I love that place. Saturday, on May 20th, Heart Distillery will be doing tastings. Never a bad time to get out to On the Rocks Liquor. Look good? You're looking at it now? You're getting the preview? You're
yeah,
getting the scope?
Packaging says it's cerveza, which is Mexican for beer, made with real lime and salt. So it's like a little Mexican beer for you.
I'm in.
Looks
I'm,
good.
I'm in on that. That's perfect. Let's rock and roll. Let's get ready for a big week here. Let's get ready for a big night. Game one, Nuggets-Lakers, 33 minutes after the hour. How did head coach DeDeAnn Pendleton-Helm get through her first year as the UNC Bears softball coach? They were picked to finish last in the Big Sky Conference. Thank you, Angel. All the chips were down, man. Everything was against them. They found a way, and they won their first Big Sky Conference championship. 33 minutes after the hour, we'll get Coach on the other side. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
And she's done it. Northern Colorado wins it. For the first time ever, they are Big Sky softball champions. What a performance from the Bears. What a comeback. What a season. Coach Pendleton Helms first with the program. They were picked to finish dead last in the preseason poll. And they became the third
season. Well, that says it right there. Picked to finish last. This is unbelievable. Incredibly honored to have this next guest on the program. I feel like we just talked to her last week as we got set for the Big Sky Conference Championships. But joining us now, UNC softball head coach DeDeAnn Pendleton-Helm. Coach, thank you so much for giving us some time. Congratulations to you. I mean, talk about going through this thing, going through the ringer from the beginning of the season all the way through the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me today. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's great to catch up with you, Coach. I mean, you're rock and rolling right now. Have you come back down to earth yet? Has your team come back down to earth? Because this was so much fun, so awesome for this community.
It really is. Yeah, you know, I think after that last game when we won it, I think today might be the first day we're like, oh, this is real. Let's go, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, let's talk about this. We talked about this last week, but this being your first year as the head coach, as a head coach at all, great experience, obviously. We know that about you. But, I mean, I asked you last week, did you think you'd be in this position? And you were like, you know, I don't think about the wins and losses and all that. So I'll ask you again, did you think you'd be in this position, picked to finish last? Now you're first. How about that?
Yeah, pretty amazing, you know, and it's kind of what I said last week, if I'm being honest. No, didn't think we would be here, if I'm being really honest. But, man, we played a great tournament, and this team, they just fought. Mm. They fought the whole weekend and showed so much grit. And, you know, we came out on top against some just impressive talent on those other teams, you know, so much respect for them.
Well, and again, you guys just battled. You battled. There was rain delays, of course. That was happening nonstop. But then, you know, Idaho State beat you guys in the semifinals. You had to go through the loser's bracket, win three games, including beating Idaho State twice. Rain delays, everything. I mean, you guys just, you had an entire season in one weekend.
We did. You know, I think after that loss to Idaho State, we had to regroup. And, you know, how I had said last week, we don't focus on the wins and losses, and we really haven't all season. And I think during that game, we had that taste of what it was going to be, and I think we were focusing on the win. And so we kind of had, you know, and it didn't bode well for us, as you know. And so we had to come back after that game and just kind of regroup and set our goals and focus on what we've been doing. And truly, we went into the rest of that tournament saying, you know, win or lose, you know, let's focus on our goals. And if we meet these goals, we've won, whether it's a win or loss on the board. And I think that's what helped. You know, we got grounded again. We stayed, you know, kind of within ourselves and didn't get too, I think, starry-eyed for those wins. And then the wins happened, which was awesome.
Coach, when you say regroup, I'm always fascinated by coaches, by college coaches, and how, you know, what you guys are doing when the chips are down and you say we got to regroup and what those conversations are like. What can you talk to us? I mean, you don't have to give us word for word. I doubt you transcribed it, Coach, but just some of the things that you're going through and talking to these players about what you're doing and, you know, the uphill battle that's in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, we talked as a staff and just, I think even our staff was focused on the win, right? And then it made our team focus on the win. And we sat and talked about what has worked for us this whole year. And, you know, we kind of wrote out those things that have really worked for us this season. And then talked to the team about that. And they just were right on that same page. You know, they're like, yep, we can't make it bigger than what it is. It's still just a game, and we got to focus on ourselves. And I think we were focused a lot on Idaho State in that one game, and then we came back and really had to just focus on ourselves and what we do best, and you know, play that game. But yeah, you know, you could imagine there wasn't much sleep after that loss to Idaho State. So.
Sure. Yeah. No question about it. You got to be thinking about that nonstop. Joining us now, UNC softball head coach, Coach Pendleton Helm, as the Bears win their first Big Sky Conference championship and coach's first year too. I mean, when you hear those kind of things, you know, and again, this has been the theme of this show the last couple of weeks, is the UNC Bears doing great things. For you, Coach, again, I'm just so astonished. Not that you couldn't do it eventually, but to do it in that first year as a head coach, it's amazing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you don't go into your first year of a head coach and think this will happen. But it's a shout-out to this team, you know, and the commitment they made and a commitment that this my coaching staff, I mean, they're just amazing. And they just put both feet in, you know. They really just, you know, dove into this season and trusted each other and trusted in the process. And I think that's what's paid off, you know. Yeah, definitely, I think a little still shocked, if I'm being honest. You know, it's like, wow, this is awesome. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, so. I loved your post. I was watching it on the Big Sky Network, too. Just so much joy from you, Coach. And I know that players just... they love that when you celebrate your wins, you know, you think about your losses, yeah. But take that time, right, to celebrate those yes. wins.
Yes, absolutely. And we did, you know, which you do, you have to embrace this time and do just celebrate what we've done and accomplished. And, yeah, we got to go and have that watch party, which was so fun. And, you know, and again, celebrate this how far we've gotten this year, which is really incredible. So.
And a lot of sensational players on your roster. And
yeah.
A few of them, you know, are in the 2023 all tournament team. I mean, just a handful of amazing players.
Yeah. And you know, that was we have Aaron Cavanis, who's been, you know, got first team all pitcher for the conference this year. But then, you know, we have Izzy DiNapoli come in this last weekend and just big time step it up for the team and make, you know, all conference, make the all tournament team. And she just did phenomenal. And just everybody, I mean, if you could have been there, just every single teammate just pouring their heart into each of these games. And it took everybody. I mean, you know, from pinch runners to pinch hitters to, you know, just the whole lineup, the energy coming out of the dugout. I mean, it truly took every single person from this team, and I'm just so proud of this team.
Coach, with the weather too, like we talked about with the rain delays, I mean, did you almost feel like it was a movie? You know, you see the rain's coming down, there's rain delays, it's muddy, we're getting dirty like that. I mean, did it almost feel surreal in that moment?
It did. You know, we were laughing. We're like, well, this is championship weather right here, you know? I mean, you got to fight through some major elements, and it's hard. It's hard to play and pitch in that type of weather, and I'm fighting for the pitchers, and, you know, the other team's fighting to keep it going because they know, all of us know, you know, we're like, this is tough to play in, but they just battled through it. It was so fun to watch.
Well, we got a texter coming in here for you, Coach, from the Bama Bear. With so much recent success, do you feel that there's just this overwhelming sense of confidence within the athletic department as a whole? I'm seeing all the coaches retweeting and loving up on you and this team, and I absolutely love to see that.
Yeah, you know, and this, I mean, we've, you know, volleyball making the, you know, they're so successful. And then, you know, we got our golf team in regionals right now, and you know, UNC athletics, they're just incredible. And I love working here. The support that we have felt just even through the entire season before this big conference win, you know, just all the support from the coaches has been unbelievable. And from the upper staff, I mean, it's just been constant support through the entire season, you know, not even after this big accomplishment for our team, but even before that. So we have just felt, you know, completely supported and loved this entire season.
Well, I'm seeing football players retweet. Not that this doesn't happen, but it's just cool to see it. I'm seeing football players that I follow, volleyball players that I follow are retweeting and saying, great. And some of them are saying, hey, we want to do what they're doing. I mean, it's inspiring. And that's the beautiful part about what you're doing, because you have such a great story from your background, your playing career, being the first year and doing this. I think you've inspired a lot of people in this community and throughout the state of Colorado.
Oh, that's awesome to hear, you know, and I kind of laugh because I really don't feel it's about me, right? It's about those girls you know, these amazing athletes and just what they have done, you know, and that's really where I want to keep the focus. So,
well, we got some opportunities to watch coming up next. ESPN Plus, we're going to have that opportunity to check this out in the Seattle Regional, taking on Washington in the first round.
Yeah.
I believe, is that 7 o'clock, Coach? Helping me out here, 8 o'clock Central Time. There we go, on ESPN Plus. So excited for this matchup. What can you tell us about Washington as you're busting into this one?
Yeah, you know, of course the coaches are doing, we're doing our work and our film work and then just trying to keep our team grounded that, you know, the bases are still 60 feet, the mound's still 43 feet, and, you know, everybody puts their pants on the same way, right? And trying to keep them grounded in that we just got to go play our game and focus on ourselves, right? And let the coaching staff kind of do the behind the scenes work on Washington, because, you know, complete big respect for Washington. You know, they came to Colorado last year and UNC played them, and I actually faced them at that other school. And so, you know, we know what they are and how much respect we need to have for them. But also, you know, we just got to go play hard and put out our best game and just honestly leave it all on the field. So.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Congratulations again to you, Coach. This is just awesome. And I said last week we need to do this again. Just went ahead and win the Big Sky Conference Championship, and away we go. So proud of you guys and this program and the University of Northern Colorado, and we'll be rooting for you this Friday.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Brady. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. We'll talk to you soon. That's UNC softball coach, head coach Pendleton Helm of the softball, the Big Sky Conference champs. First time ever for the Bears to win that, for the softball team to win that. First time ever for her to win that. First time ever she's coached. It's awesome, dude. I mean, talking about coming back when the chips are down, when things are rough and it's a tough go, and they find a way to do it all season, pick to finish last.
Yeah, it's. I mean, when I was still in school, I followed the softball team for the student paper, so I was really close to the program. And I think college softball is one of the most entertaining sports to watch. It's the action is so much fun, and they're so into it, and there's so much emotion and personality in the different players, and you see it in their teams. So this was just so cool to see them win it. Obviously, first year head coach, first time, like. I know, like, some of these seniors on this team now, I was watching when they were freshmen just starting out. So even seeing them grow to this point and being Big Sky champions, that's amazing.
It does seem like there's a little buzz going on over there at UNC.
I think they're feeling it. I think
our boy Jacob Sermon retweeted that and said, hey, we're next. Football. He's quarterback, of course.
Yeah, I think people are looking at football to be that, you know, the big moneymaker team, but you can't ignore the volleyball team. You can't ignore what basketball has done the last couple of years. Andrew Alirez, our very own. Big or national champion at that, and then the golf regions too.
Yeah, golf's rocking and rolling.
So if you're in NoCo or in Colorado and you want to play college sports, don't ignore UNC.
It's probably a good thought there, and you're seeing all these guys. Steve Smiley's bringing in for next year for basketball, and Coach Mateo. I mean, they're bringing in some people. We'll see what it looks like when you actually get out. That's the hard part about evaluating college athletes. Like CSU's getting all these people. CU, of course, we know what they're dealing with transfer situations. You don't know until you know. You know some of the guys you saw last year, but some of these unknowns will be very interesting. 11:50 the time. Lunch rush coming up soon. NBA firings, man. It's crazy out there. We'll talk about that in a bit. More Nuggets, Lakers. Mike Brohard will join us. Also, Vic Lombardi from Altitude will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. I want to thank our friends at Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. All month, they've got great things going on. At Pooter Pet and Feed Supply in the month of May, discounts every single day. So you can enjoy those discounts, pop in. You got to make sure you get after it because now's the time, you know? I mean, you're getting ready. It's been crazy rain. Your animals are out and ready to get outside and stuff. Well, they got to be fed. They got to be taken care of. Make sure you stop by Pooter Pet and Feed Supply with locations in Fort Collins and Windsor. And tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. Powered by PDC Energy. The deal today, let's see what we got. What is the date today, Angel? Is it the 16th? It is the 16th day of May. And I want to make sure I got this for you guys so you have it. Canadi. Canadi, I think, is the brand. Buy one bag, get $10 off, Also, you can buy two bags and get $25 off. So a great deal going on today at Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. And also, I have a giveaway. It's a bundle box. I gave one of these away last week. I want to do this now. Pooter Pet and Feed Supply giving away a bundle box each week. So we got to give one away this week. It's a box for cat or dog. And at the store, the winner would just go pick up, call, whatever, say you want it here on the whole show on KFKA, tell them your name and everything, and you could win. It's a bundle. You got food. You got toys in there. You got everything that you need for the pet. So a bundle box right now, courtesy of Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. Angel, tell you what, let's go. And again, folks, stay on the line because Angel will be transitioning to the top of the hour, so you might not get through out of the way. So you could still win even if you're on hold for a bit. So let's go with caller number 15 for Nikola Jokic. Caller number 15, let's do that. Let's have fun with that. Call now, 970-353-1310. I need your name and I need your phone number. That's what I need. Great bundle box coming up from Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. You don't want to miss out on this. Whether you're a dog person, a cat person, or somewhere in between, they're going to hook you up. 11:57 the time. When we come back in the second hour, got the lunch rush to hit. A lot of interesting NBA news going on. Mike Brohard will join us from CSURams.com. There's some news coming out of Colorado State women's basketball. We'll talk about that in the second hour. And then Vic Lombardi will join me in the 1 o'clock hour. Talk some more Nuggets Lakers. He almost poked LeBron James' eye out. So, well, ask how that went down. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.